Hallelujah. Isn't Jesus wonderful? You can feel the presence of God all over this place. If you've ever wanted to receive something from God, now's your opportunity. All it takes is an open heart. All you have to say is say, God, either you're going to come down here and touch me, or I'm going to go up to heaven and I'm touching you. Hallelujah. It's true. One touch from Jesus changes everything about you. All it takes is one cry out to God and the fire of God will fall from heaven and you'll be on fire for God for the rest of your life. And your life could shake nations for the gospel. Hundreds of thousands of people could go to heaven just because of one encounter with Jesus. That's all it takes. And the presence of God is sweeping across this field right now. All it takes is a hungry heart. The Bible says if you're hungry and thirsty for God, then you'll be filled. That's what the Bible says in Matthew 5. If you're hungry and thirsty for God, then He'll fill you. God's looking. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord range to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking to give strong support to those whose hearts are blameless towards Him. There's strong support coming to you tonight. Tonight, right now, I'm about to pray for every person that wants prayer. And if you have anxiety or depression, it'll go away. The moment that I pray for you, it'll go away. Just like that woman that was deaf from birth, God will heal your body tonight. If you need power from God, God will give you power. If you need a touch from God, God will give you a touch. But all it takes is faith. You know, there's one currency in the kingdom of God that purchases anything. And it's the currency of faith. The current faith. All it takes is one person that says, I'm going to touch Jesus. And I know that when I touch his garment, I'll be healed. Just like the woman with the issue of blood in the Bible. She was struggling for 12 years with a blood problem. And she pushed through the crowd. She heard Jesus was coming that day. And if she didn't push through the crowd to touch him, she wouldn't have been healed. You know, Jesus didn't think about how she was coming that day. Her faith got her miracle. She went and tapped into the power of God and got her miracle in that moment. And if she didn't do it, she wouldn't have gotten the miracle. And she said, I know if I but touch his clothes, I'll be healed. And then Jesus was in a whole crowd of people. And when she touched him, he stopped and he said, who touched me? And all the disciples said, what do you mean? There's like 50 people touching you. He goes, no, somebody touched me with a touch of faith. Tonight's your opportunity to touch Jesus with a touch of faith. Where the power of God will fall from heaven upon your life. And you'll be on fire for Jesus for the rest of your life. Sin will flee out of your life. Sickness will flee out of your life. Depression will flee out of your life. Suicidal thoughts will go. Voices that you hear in your head, they'll go. The moment I pray for you. But you got to connect your faith with God. You got to believe that what God says is true. The Bible says God is not a man that he should lie. He's not like man where he says, I'm going to do something, but then he changes his mind because it's inconvenient. When God speaks something out of his mouth, his word is so powerful that he has to abide by his word for the rest of eternity. And what does God say about healing? He says that I sent Jesus and by his stripes you are healed, which meant that he took stripes on his back just to purchase your healing. He didn't have to do it, but he did. So tonight, when you activate your faith and you open up your heart, and when I pray for you, whatever you need from God, God will give it to you. Do you believe that? You believe that? So right now, anybody here, I don't care if you came up to the altar call or not, if you want a miracle, or if you want a touch from God, if you have an incurable disease in your body, if you have a problem like anxiety that you want to be free from, or anything in the mind, or you hear voices, or you're struggling with this suicide, like some suicidal thought, whatever it is, if that's you tonight, or number two, if you want this touch from God I'm talking about, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you want the power of God to rest upon your life, so that your life counts for eternity, so that you have power from God to pray for people and them get healed. If you want that right now, then line up right here, but give some space, because I'm going to walk side to side, single file, shoulder to shoulder, shoulder to shoulder, and I'm going to pray for each person right now. And when I do, the moment that I pray for you, I'm going to touch you.
Welcome to the first live stream. No, actually, the second live. Is it the second or is it the first? I'm trying to remember what last week was. I think this is the first live stream. Yeah, sorry. There's a lot happened in the last week. First live stream of 2025. Thank y'all for hopping on. My brain didn't work for a second. But this is the first live stream of 2025. And today, we're going to be talking about fasting and prayer. But we're going to be talking about how to maximize your time of fasting and prayer. I'm not going to talk about trying to like make arguments for why you need to fast and not do a Daniel fast or whatever. Anybody that reads the Bible could clearly see that Jesus said that whenever he leaves, the disciples that stay will fast, that fasting has value. So I'm not talking to people that are trying to figure out if they even think that fasting has value, because it does. But I'm going to be talking about how to maximize the value of your fast this year. Because if you can take care of business in these 21 days of prayer and fasting that most people would be doing, that's what our church is doing with Pastor Jonathan Shuttlesworth. If you take care of business these 21 days, you can set yourself up for not just a normal year, but a supernatural year. Because fasting at its core, what it does is fasting diminishes the effect and the voice of your flesh, and it maximizes the voice of your spirit. And the moment that you can hear from your spirit and operate from your spirit is one with the Holy Spirit, and you'll make your life supernatural because the Holy Spirit's supernatural. Now, those other things have value. If you want to listen to explanations on fasting and different types of fasts and how to fast, look up Evangelist Tiff Shuttlesworth or Evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth or Evangelist TJ Malkanji. Those are people I listen to for those type of things, and they have great practical things on fasting. But today we're going to be dealing with not what type of thing, like whether or not you should have water or electrolyte powder or whatever. We're going to be talking about spiritually, what do you have to do to effectively fast? What do you have to do to get results from heaven? Because many people fast and do the whole fasting and prayer thing, but they don't pray enough, or they don't read the word enough, or they get busy and they're committed to something. Like, oh, they already made a commitment to do whatever number of days of fasting, but then there was nothing spiritual about their fast, and it really didn't do much in the spirit. There's no point in fasting if your prayer time isn't effective. The key to fasting is to have an effective prayer time. And so first, to be able to fast properly, you have to know how to be able to pray properly. I think I've talked about this in the past, and the things about prayer, where you get into this whole fasting and prayer world, and you hear a lot about how you need to fast, but many Christians don't even know how to get into the Spirit, or they don't know how to get into the presence of God, and they don't know how to worship and praise God, or they don't know how to pray and get into the Spirit. And if you can't get into the Spirit, you can't hear from God. You're not at the place where your spirit is above your flesh in the first place. You have to be to know how to get into the presence of God, how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, how to position yourself to receive word encounters from the Bible. That's the key. Now, fasting helps that 100%, but if you don't know how to do it at all, then that's the first step. The first step is to figure out how to get in the Spirit, if you go and look up some of my past videos, I have a video on how to enter into the presence of God, and then there's another live stream that I've done about prayer, because fasting is basically like the C4 addition to prayer, where you can do the same amount of prayer but be on a fast and it be two or three times as effective. So fasting multiplies the effectualness and the effectiveness of your prayer and the potency of your prayer. Normal prayer versus prayer on a fast is a completely different thing. Prayer on a fast has a multiplied effect on your life. And that's because you're diminishing the voice of your spirit. So now open up to Mark 9, and we're going to, this is a great passage whenever you talk about prayer and fasting as to what prayer and fasting achieves. So Mark chapter 9, verse 14 says this. We'll just read this passage. When he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you could do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." So the father says, "If you could do anything, please help us." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." So basically what's taking place in the story is the disciples are trying to cast a demon out of this kid, but they haven't been successful. And then Jesus comes down from the mountain of transfiguration, and he had been fasting and praying on this mountain. And in fact, so much so that the disciples literally saw all of his glory. His flesh faded for a second, and God permitted that all of his glory would be displayed, like his heavenly glory, the glory that he has right now in heaven. So they saw him like he is in heaven, because Jesus was fully God in a body. So many people didn't even recognize that he was God, which is just a crazy thing to think about. And so he goes back down from this mountain, and he easily casts this demon out, and the disciples are wondering, why is it that we weren't able to cast this out? Couple things you need to know. Number one, the disciples without Jesus were trying to cast out this demon. The reason is because Jesus had already given them authority to cast out demons. In prior chapters, they had already been sent to other cities to cast out demons. Jesus sent them out, Matthew 8:10. Go heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, and cast out demons. So that was their assignment, was to go preach the gospel around Jerusalem and around Israel and to do signs and wonders via the authority of the name of Jesus. But they come across this demon where their authority isn't working for some reason. And then Jesus says, "Faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and how long shall I bear with you?" So he rebukes them. He doesn't say, "Oh man, that's really tough that didn't go the way you wanted it to." He said, "Faithless and perverse generation, this is your responsibility to figure out how to use the authority of my name." God doesn't sit in heaven and just pity you and be like, "Okay, well, you know, you had a tough time, I'll make it happen." No, He expects you to get insight in his word and to get revelation knowledge of the word of God and to use that revelation knowledge to exercise your authority over the devil. There's a story of Kenneth Hagin, where in one of the visions he had with Jesus, Jesus is talking to him, having a normal conversation, and then all of a sudden a demon enters into the room and jumps in between him and Jesus. And is he said it was like some type of, like, it looked like an animal, like a monkey or like a baboon or something. And he said that it was jumping up and down, emitting all of this like green fog, which is a crazy thing. And he said that he was stunned, and he expected Jesus to do something about it, but Jesus didn't even budge. Jesus continued speaking to Kenneth Hagin, telling him things about the Bible and teaching him about the Word. Because Jesus would come and give him revelation on things in the Bible in a vision. Finally, he gets like this sense of urgency, because he's like, I've got to hear what Jesus is saying. Like, I can't have this demon be interfering with this time. This is important. So he goes, get out of here. And the demon, it looked like something smacked it. And the demon just gets pummeled on the floor on its back and just slides like about 3 feet towards the end of the wall. And then he goes, as a matter of fact, get out of here and never come back. And the demon got up just terrified and sprinted out of the room. And then he looks back at Jesus, and Jesus says to him, he says, I'm glad you did that. He goes, I was hoping you would. He said, because if you didn't do that, then there was nothing I could have done about it. He said, I couldn't have done anything. And Kenneth Hagin was stunned. And he goes, what do you mean you couldn't have? He goes, surely you mean you wouldn't have. And he goes, no, I couldn't have done anything about it. And he for three times, he goes, surely you mean you wouldn't have done it. Not that you couldn't have. Not that you didn't have the power to do it. And he goes, no. He goes, now that I'm in heaven, I've given my authority to you on the earth, and it's your responsibility to use the authority of my name to cast out demons and to enforce the authority of Jesus over the powers of the devil. Notice how it didn't matter. He could have missed the whole conversation. Notice God has compassion, but you have to get authority and you have to get revelation of that authority. Otherwise, there are things that you'll miss that God's speaking to you. Or there's things that you'll miss and you'll allow yourself to get kicked out of the perfect will of God by the devil. And so Jesus says to them, he says, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? Who is he rebuking? He's not rebuking the dad that had faith enough to send the kid to them, believing that they had authority and power, believing in God. And he wasn't rebuking the kid because the kid was possessed of the devil. He didn't know what was going on anyways. He was rebuking the disciples because they weren't using their faith to exercise the authority of the name of Jesus. So he's saying, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I bear with you? So then he goes down to the inn and they ask him, why were we not able to cast this out? And Jesus said, this kind comes out by nothing but prayer and fasting. So what he's saying is there's levels of power in the demonic. Not every demon has the same amount of power. The Bible makes it clear in another verse where it talks about a demon leaving a house and then the house getting swept clean and put back in order, and it goes wandering through desert places seeking rest, and then he goes and finds seven spirits more terrible and wicked and more and evil than himself, and they come back and find the house swept clean and empty, and they come in and occupy that house, and it says the last condition of the person is worse than the first. There are levels and degrees of demonic power. And so they stumbled across a demon that carried more power than the ones that they'd faced. And the authority and their faith didn't measure up to that power. Now, all authority is in the name of Jesus. So it wasn't as it says that Jesus has been given the name that's above every single name. Philippians 2. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven, earth, and under the earth. So it's not the lack in the authority of the name of Jesus. It's a lack in the substance of faith in their heart. So then what's prayer and fasting do? Prayer and fasting builds up the faith in your heart. Prayer and fasting gets rid of the carnality and increases the strength of your spirit, man, which in turn can use faith stronger and increases your revelation in your faith from the Word of God in your heart, so that you could exercise authority over the devil. So there's battles in life that you will not win unless you engage the power of prayer and fasting. You cannot live this life on earth, successfully achieve the perfect will of God, and enter into heaven having done that without engaging prayer and fasting. One of the greatest, there's two fights that you fight. You fight against the devil, and you fight against your flesh. Those are the two main battles that every man fights. But I think that the battle against the flesh is much more substantial than the battle against the devil. Amen. We'll definitely pray for you. Watch this to the end. I'll pray for you at the very end. We've had plenty of people healed on this broadcast. So fasting and prayer builds up your faith, and it produces breakthroughs in your life. And I have here 7 things that fasting will do for you, and 3 keys that will give you a successful fast this year. And by the end of them, your faith will be stirred up, and your miracle will come. So we'll go straight into this. Go ahead and go to Isaiah 58, because Isaiah 58 is like the best passage in the Bible that shows you what fasting does. Go to verse 3. So it says, so this people are kind of disgruntled, and they're kind of saying, what's the point of fasting? Literally, in this passage. So they say, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? And why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice? And it says, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit your laborers, and you fast for strife and debate, and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer, and you will cry, and he will say, here I am. So notice, afflicting your soul by not eating absolutely. Stay to the end. I'll pray for you at the end, and God will heal you. God, the pain will leave your back the moment that we pray. Praise the Lord. So notice this. No amount of hunger strike and afflicting your body with a lack of food is going to deliver for you supernatural results or an answer to you from God in heaven. God doesn't care about that. God cares about a fast that produces righteousness and faith and things like that. So they're fasting. These people were fasting, but they were living completely carnally. They weren't living like holy. They were engaging in wickedness. They were fasting for strife and debate. They were exploiting their laborers, people that worked for them, wasn't paying them what they were supposed to pay for them. And then it says, this is the fast that I've chosen. So there's obedience required. You can't just fast and then do whatever the heck you... He's basically saying you can't fast and just you being in hunger do anything in the spirit. That's basically what he's getting at. But then he lists all these things that can be done. And so I've got a list of 7 things that fasting can do and will do for you. And several of them are in this passage. But number 1 is this. Fasting humbles yourself so that you can be positioned in the Spirit to be promoted by God. Humility is the number one key to be promoted by God. And when you fast, fasting is a method of humbling yourself. It talks about how the people of Nineveh humbled themselves in prayer and fasting, and even had their animals fasting. I believe it was like 21 days, and they clothed themselves with sackcloth and ashes. It's a way of humbling yourself. Fasting is a way of humbling yourself before God, saying, I need breakthrough. I need your power. I need revelation. I need you in this year. Otherwise, this year's not going to go well for me. So fasting is a way of humbling yourself. And fasting is also a way of consecration. Consecration is not just surrendering everything to God. Whatever God wants for you, let it happen. That's surrender. Consecration is different than surrender. Consecration includes your obedience. So fasting is a way of not just being fully surrendered to God, but being fully surrendered to God in your heart and fully obedient to God with your actions. You can't, this whole passage is talking about, you can't just surrender to God and starve. And you have to both obey God. You know, Bishop David Oyedepo talks about fasting. He goes, there are things you could fast for 40 days and it not change because you haven't either obeyed God or you haven't praised God or you don't have revelation of the word. It's not the fasting that does it. It's the things that it looses in the spirit that does it. Fasting is simply to get your flesh out of the way and to give a clear route between your spirit and the Holy Spirit to hear from God, to hear revelation from God, to hear divine guidance from God, all sorts of things. But the number one thing that it does is it positions you to be promoted via humility. That's not the number one thing, but that's the first thing I have on this list. Because it says, the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may lift you up in due time. So when you humble yourself, you position yourself under the hand of God, where when the timing is right, God takes you with his hand and picks you up and puts you in a higher place. Divine promotion from God. And when God divinely promotes you, it's public and everybody will see it. Number two, fasting deals with your flesh. We've talked about that the whole time. Let's see. Go to 1 John chapter 4. No, wait, chapter 2. Verse 15. It says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So fasting diminishes the things that are of the world that are actually in opposition to the things of God. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those are all things that your flesh activates. But here's another thing that your flesh activates. Your flesh activates doubt and fear, and anxiety. Those are things that your carnality allows to exist. And so when you fast, you diminish doubt. You diminish fear. You build up your faith so that you can receive better from the things of God. So number two, fasting deals with your flesh. Number three, this one's huge. Fasting gives you revelation. Go back to Isaiah 58. Revelation of the Word of God. Isaiah 58, verse 8 says this. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. So light is revelation knowledge. Your light will break forth. When you fast and when you get in the Spirit and when you pray, the Holy Spirit will start showing you things. He'll start explaining to you what the Word says. You know, the Holy Spirit was the one that wrote the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Word of God. And so when you get in the Spirit and you get in the presence of the Holy Spirit and you open up your Bible, He'll start illuminating things that exist in the spiritual realm, promises of God, the covenant you have with God, the power of God, all sorts of things that is light. You'll start seeing things in the Spirit with the eyes of your spirit in the Word of God, and your whole situation will look different. And then go to verse 10. It says, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as noonday. Revelation knowledge comes from the entrance of the Word of God. When the Word of God gets into your spirit and you hear it, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So when you hear the Word of God, it permits the Word of God to enter into your spirit. And the Bible says that the entrance of your word brings light. So the moment that the Word of God enters into your spirit, light breaks forth in the spirit. So your whole life, your path could have been dark. Everything in your life could have been dark. You could have been stumbling along the path, not being able to see where your steps are. But the moment that the light of the Word of God enters into your spirit, everything changes. Like it says right here. It says, your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as noonday. So it changes the whole situation just from the Word of God entering into your spirit. Receive a new encounter with the Word of God today. I see your story changing. Receive a change in story from the entrance of the Word of God. Let light break forth into your spirit right now. New levels of revelation knowledge. See something that you've never seen before in the Word of God. Don't let this fast just pass you by. I see light breaking forth for you in Jesus' name. And that revelation knowledge produces faith. That's why it's important to listen to the Word of God. It produces faith. You don't need somebody to lay hands on you and pray for you to receive a healing. All you need is faith in God. All you need is to see in the Spirit your covenant with God, that you've made a covenant, just like you've received Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You've received Jesus to be your healer. Jesus is your healer just as much as Jesus is your Savior. Someone's speaking in tongues on the live stream chat. I don't have the interpretation. Number 4, fasting produces healing. Isaiah 58, verse 8. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. So fasting looses the healing power of God into your body. The Bible says this, that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, this is Romans 8, will give life to your mortal bodies in Christ Jesus. The life of God contains all the healing power of God, all the prosperity of God, everything. The life of God is the part of God that is the divine and infinitely powerful part of God. It's the thing that makes God God, is the life of God. And the Bible says that in Christ, you receive that life. It's eternal life. It's the thing that will give you eternal life in heaven. And the Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead gives life, or God's life, to your immortal bodies in Christ. That means that when you're a Christian, you have access to this river of life that heals your body from the inside out. But if you live life in the flesh, you're not drinking from that river. So when you fast, you slip into the Spirit, and the river of God starts flowing through you, and you start drinking from that healing river from the inside out. It flows through your soul, flows into your body. John G. Lake used to say, he said when he was in Africa, a time of like a a detrimental plague where many, like a large number of people were dying from this plague. He was burying the bodies of people that had died from the plague and never once died or even got sick from this like deadly virus or this deadly bacteria. And so these scientists come up to him and they say, how is it, what do you know that we don't know that you've lived 4 years doing this and you haven't died? And they took, he agreed to it. They did an experiment where they took the bacteria and they placed it on his hand. And they looked at it under a microscope. And within like 10 minutes, the bacteria had died on his hand. And they go, how is this possible? And he goes, it's called the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He goes, the law of the spirit of life in me, the life of God flowing out of my spirit, out of my soul, into my body, and out of the pores of my skin, put to death that disease before it could ever even affect me. It's called divine health. Not only will God heal you of all your diseases, God gives you power to live divinely healthy. You'll exist and live life in a realm higher than sickness and disease. A realm where sickness and disease does not exist. That's your portion in Jesus' name. Step into that realm today. Step into that realm where sickness and disease doesn't exist. It comes from the entrance of light. Once you see it, you can never unsee it ever again. Receive that. I see your story changing. I see a new pathway in your life where you won't ever spend money on doctor bills or anything like that or medication, but you'll tap into the life of God. You'll be a supernatural testimony. It's God's guarantee from the Word of God. One more thing I'll say about Revelation. Galatians 3 says this. It says, does God supply the Spirit and miracles among you by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And the Bible says that the Word of God is a seed and that you reap what you sow, which means the Bible makes it clear that the Word is the seed and the Spirit, the supply of the Holy Spirit and miracles are the harvest, which means due to the law of sowing and reaping, you can guarantee miracle after miracle, and you can guarantee the supply of the Spirit needed to live a supernatural life and accomplish your destiny. The guarantee of the harvest comes from the sowing of the Word of God into your heart. All it takes to receive a miracle is to hear the Word of God about healing until the miracle breaks forth in your body. Receive that today. Receive the seed of the Word of God into your heart and the light of the Word of God. It'll change your destiny today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, God, for your Word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you that you change every destiny, that you're faithful to your Word. Glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. All right, number five. Number five is protection for the year. Verse 8, it says, your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. What that's saying is your righteousness from God, the same righteousness that Christ has, protects you going forward. That right standing with God is protects you in front of you. The breastplate of righteousness, right? It protects you. But then the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. So it's saying that when you fast and pray, you're accessing protection from God for the year. So that this next year that you go into, there will be attacks from the devil that you didn't see coming. But it's okay because the glory of the Lord's your rear guard. God's got your blind spot. God's got you protected in the areas that you couldn't foresee. Number six, important answers to prayer. Go to verse 9. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. The people of Nineveh, God had already loosed judgment on them. When God's a perfect judge, and in his perfect judgment decided that it was time for that nation to be wiped out. But they fasted and prayed genuinely, and called out to God for mercy. And God heard their prayer. because of that fast, it positioned them to receive an answer to prayer that they were otherwise not going to receive. If they just asked God to not do it, they wouldn't have answered the prayer. But because of the consecration and the humility of their request of the that came from fasting and prayer, they humbled themselves and no longer met God's opposition, but they met God's reinforcement. It says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Grace is God's empowerment from heaven to empower you in your assignment. So God can either be resisting you from the front, keeping you from moving forward, or God could be pushing you forward from the back, empowering you to accelerate forward in your destiny. So there are prayers that fasting answers. Daniel fasted for 21 days to get an answer from God. And he got an answer from an angel, had a vision, and got the answer to why the people of Israel were still in Babylon. And then number seven is this, divine guidance. In 1 Kings 19, or it might be 20, let's see here, Elijah had just got done on, I believe it was Mount Carmel, where he was fighting the prophets of Baal, and then he called down fire from heaven. And it says that he went on a 40-day journey into the wilderness, running from Jezebel. And that at the end of that 40-day journey, he said that he was seeking after the Lord. And at the end of that 40-day journey, God told him to go and stand by this mountain. And God brings by this mighty wind. He brings by this earthquake, and he brings by a fire. And it says, the voice of the Lord was not in any of those three things. Then there was a gentle, small breeze. And the voice, God was present in that gentle wind. It was a quiet wind. And then God spoke to him, and he gave him his assignment. This is what the Lord said. He says, go return your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king of over Syria, and also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So Elisha was at the point where he wanted to die. He didn't know what to do, where to go. Goes and gets divine guidance from God, and everything in the whole situation changes. He couldn't find the way forward, but then he got into the Spirit and he prayed, and the Holy Spirit showed him the way forward. Praise God. We're going to pray for everybody to be healed at the end of this. For your son's kidney problems. Everything. And God will give you a miracle. I believe that. God is a good God. We're almost done, and we're going to pray for the people to be healed. For you, Teresa, and for Shannon. There have been multiple people healed on this broadcast before. You don't have to be in person to receive a healing. The power of God will sweep into your room and will fall from heaven like a fire and burn it out of your kid and burn it out of your body. So number one was humbling yourself. Number two was dealing with your flesh. Number three was revelation. Number four was healing. Number five was protection for the year. Number six was important answers to prayer. And number seven was divine guidance. Those are all things that fasting and prayer can bring to you. Now, what are the keys to success? Number one is to pray. We talked about that earlier. If you don't know how to pray, there's no point in fasting. There was a point in my life where I was fasting a pretty good amount, but I got to a point where I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I don't even feel like I can successfully pray. And so I humbled myself in that way, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to seek God in prayer until I know that I can get answers from God, until I know that my prayers work, and that I can get into the presence of God and receive divine power from heaven. And it happened. God showed me how to get into the presence of God. He gave me a revelation or a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And now I'm confident that if I needed to hear the voice of God in 24 hours, I could get alone with God and get that answer. And then fasting now amplifies that revelation on how to pray. But the number one key to success is actually pray. Get alone with God for like 30 minutes to an hour. Get some worship music going or a preaching message. It helps you to stir up your spirit. And then pray in tongues. Pray in tongues until you about things that you don't know how to pray about. Pray in tongues about, because when you pray in tongues, you're praying the perfect will of God. Pray in tongues. Pray in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit prays through you the perfect will of God. And it gets you into the Spirit. It says, Jude 20, I believe. It says, "Beloved, pray always in the Holy Ghost and stir up yourselves in your most holy faith." Number two, read the Word. Read the Bible. Fasting produces light. And light is equal to divine encounters with the Word of God. You can have encounters with the Word where you see your life different forever. The reason why the Word is so important is because it brings light that you where what you see in your spirit from the Word trumps what you see in the natural with your eyes. It actually elevates the sight of your spirit, where it doesn't matter what's facing you. That's why David said, 1,000 may come before me, 10,000 at my right hand, but I will not fear. There was nothing you could bring against David that would cause him to be afraid. Nothing. Because he'd seen so much in the Word. He'd gotten so much of God's promises and so much of God's guaranteed covenant in his spirit that there was no counterattack, no temptation, no fear that could bring him down. That's the substance of faith. Faith is an active living force. It grips you. It grips your attitude. It grips your actions. Unless you're controlled by faith, you're not in faith. Faith is a substance. It's as real as this microphone. It's a substance in the spirit. It exists. You know if you have it. It comes from seeing the Word of God and the faithfulness of the Word of God, knowing that God's Word's eternal, that it's steadfast. And you see the promises of God. And you see the fact that God's guaranteed your healing. You see that Jesus took stripes on his back to purchase your healing for you forever. You see that every covenant that God makes with you and every promise lasts for eternity. God didn't quit healing people. Jesus was the will of God. He came down from heaven to reveal to us the will of God. And what did he do? There's miracle after miracle, healing after healing. There was nobody that God couldn't heal. There's no case that's lost. There's nothing that's too hard for God at all. Receive that in your spirit. There's nothing that's too hard for God. All it takes is God to just loose it from heaven, and it'll fall directly into your kidneys or directly into your back, whatever you need. It'll change easily. There's a verse. This is good. Open up to Hebrews 4:12. I see your situation changing today. Hebrews 4:12. This will get you a miracle. This verse right here will get you a miracle for free, cheaply. You'll never have to go to a doctor ever again. You don't have to live your life with medical bills. You can have the Word of God be the medicine that heals your body. Listen to this. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says this. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So according to this verse, the Bible is so sharp that there's nothing in the human spirit, soul, or body that it can't penetrate into and affect and fix or change. You catch that? The Word of God is a designed instrument from God to affect a human being positively, to change their situation, to change the state of their soul, to change the state of their spirit, to change the state of their body. The Word of God carries power. It carries the power of the Holy Spirit in it. That's why it's not an ordinary book. It carries the divine power of the Holy Spirit. Just like when God created the world with His words, He sent the Word. He said, light be, and then light was. And it says the Holy Spirit was hovering above the waters. And the moment that God loosed the Word, the Holy Spirit over the waters materialized it into creation. So the moment the Word of God enters into your heart, the power of the Holy Spirit enters in too. And it delivers revelations. It delivers miracles. It brings strength to your spirit, man. It brings strength to your body. And it gives you miracles cheaply. Receive a miracle from the Word of God. Receive a word encounter today. Let this get into you. Deep into your heart. And the last thing is this, number three, is to praise God. Praise is more powerful than prayer. And praise is more powerful than faith, believe it or not. Faith pleases God. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For whoever comes to Him must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So faith believes that God is, and believes that God rewards according to His word. Faith is based on the word. It's based that God's words are true and steadfast, and that you'll receive from Him what He said. So faith is based in God's faithfulness. Faithfulness to do and to act like He said. But praise accesses the person of God, the personality of God. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people, which means that whenever you pray by faith, God answers it, and He does by sending an angel or doing it or whatever, sending His Spirit, sending His Son. But when you praise God, God Himself comes on the scene to change your situation. Receive a change in your situation by praising God and by thanking God. Praise is the overflow of thanksgiving to God. And praise is always done with joy and with a merry heart. So right now, your situation will change the moment you thank God for your miracle and the moment you thank God for your breakthrough. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost in here strong. We're going to pray right now for you, for anybody that needs healing, anybody that needs a breakthrough. If you tie your faith with this prayer, your situation will change. But first, thank God out of your mouth right now. Thank Him that you're alive. Thank Him for Jesus. Thank Him that you're saved, that you're going to go to heaven. But thank Him that He heals your body and guarantees you to live a long life on the earth. Thank you, God. I thank you for the opportunity to be on here, to preach on YouTube and on Facebook. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the word encounters you've given me and the word encounters that you're giving to the people right now. I thank you for your Holy Spirit and power in my body to live healthy. And right now, Father, I thank you for the miracles that you're doing through this live stream. I loose the word right now, the word of healing. I loose it through this camera. God, let your fire fall on this word and let your power come through this word and heal everybody that's watching right now. I command every kidney in Teresa's son's body to be healed right now. Glory to God, that's so strong in here. Be healed. I command new kidneys to come into your body. In Jesus' name. It's done. And then Miss Smith, I command your back to be healed right now. I command every pain to leave your body right now in the name of Jesus. Any pain in your body, any sickness in your body, come out. Out. I command the spirit of infirmity to come out. And I command a spirit of infirmity to come out of your son's kidneys. Teresa. And anybody else that needs healing in their body, receive it right now. A time for an easy miracle right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your healing power. every spirit of infirmity, I bind you and cast you out in the name of Jesus. From every person watching this, you're not permitted to remain any longer. And I loose the healing power of God upon you from heaven right now to anybody that needs healing in their body, anybody that has pain in their body, for the pain to go away and the healing to take place. In Jesus' mighty name. And God, I pray for encounters with the Word of God. I pray for successful fasts. I pray that everybody that fasts will have a divine testimony of either a revelation of the Word or a breakthrough in the Word, breakthrough in their faith, breakthrough in testimony in their life. Lose testimonies in their life in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, if you need to get saved, if for all the healing testimonies, comment in the comments about the healing or email us. Our website is thevictorylifeministries.com, and our email is info@thevictorylifeministries.com. If you had to have a healing testimony through one of these live streams, please send it to us. It would encourage us a lot. We have people healed frequently from these live streams. And I would love to rejoice with you and to give the glory to God for every healing that's taken place on here. But if you need to give your life to Jesus, if you don't know if you're saved, or if you're not confident that if you were to die tonight, that you would go to heaven, the key to go to heaven is to be forgiven of your sins. The Bible says if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So if you confess your sins to Jesus, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from the inside out and forgives you of all of your sins. So right now, if you want to do that, if you want to be forgiven and guaranteed that you're going to go to heaven, pray this prayer after me and God will touch you. He will heal you right now. Jesus will forgive you. Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus. I believe that he died on the cross today, or that he died on the cross. I believe that he rose from the dead. I believe that he's alive today. And today I give my life to him. I choose to follow him. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. And save me. Make me a new creature in Christ. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. You're saved. You're going to go to heaven. Teresa, go check your son, get his blood done or something. I'm very confident that God touched him. I want to hear about it. Believe God. Take a faith step. Take him to the doctor or something. Get his blood checked. His kidneys will be made whole. I believe that strongly. I feel the Holy Ghost on it. Things are going to be different. I'm expecting a miracle. Well, praise the Lord. I'm not going to take an offering today. We'll do one maybe tomorrow. But thank you for hopping on. If this blessed you, please share it. Share it on Facebook. Share it on YouTube if you can. Like, subscribe. Get it out so that more people can watch. So that more people can get healed. More people can get saved. And more people can get the Word of God taught into their spirit. This will help people. But I love y'all. Thank you so much for hopping on today. I'll see you tomorrow, most likely at 4:00 in the afternoon, and we'll do another live stream talking about the fast and talking about preparing for this year. But I love you. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I'll see you tomorrow at 4:00, and be safe. Have a good day.